This kid's hysterical. She's making up quite a story.
What makes you think it's a story?
What are you kidding? She says a monster came out of the sewer and ate a zombie takeout.
Welcome to episode 166 of Zombie
Take Out,
the B-movie and cult movie podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, a little bit of news. This is from Cinema Blend. Trolls movie finds its director and screenwriter. DreamWorks Animation, via Coming Soon, has announced that Mike Mitchell signed on as director for Trolls, while Emmy Award-winning Erica Rivenoja, guessing on that pronunciation, will write the screenplay. Mitchell's directorial debut was 1999's class act Deuce Bigelow Male Gigolo.
Oh, jeez.
And then he moved up to directing Diminishing Return sequels Alvin and the Chipmunks, Chipwrecked, and Shrek Forever After. His shining moment was probably 2005 superhero family film Sky High. Rivenoja, meanwhile, has won Emmys for her work on the staff of South Park. She's also written for sitcoms such as Grounded for Life and, most recently, Up All Night. She gets geek credit for being a writer on MTV's animated sitcom Clone High. She actually got her start writing for the MTV Movie Awards. So we have the director of an Alvin and the Chipmunks movie and Deuce Bigelow. And I'll point out, this isn't like Troll 2.
You know, that's what I thought you were saying at first.
No, this is the Troll Dolls movie.
That this was another version of the Troll movie, which was like, who has lost their mind? but this I could see because it's, you know, it's merchandising.
Well, it's merchandising, and okay, a crap director, that's fine. And I will admit I like Sky High, but paired with someone who worked on South Park, and Grounded for Life was pretty good.
Right, I was just going to say Grounded for Life was pretty good, so yeah, we'll see.
It's just, the combination is kind of interesting.
It's a movie about dolls, anyway. How much can we really expect?
The only reason I mentioned it is because of the South Park connection. It's that kind of blew my mind that a former staff member, I'm guessing staff writer from South Park, is now working on the Trolls movie.
Yeah.
All right, so on to this week's movie. And it is from 1984, Chud. And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Toxic Waste. Want to create a homicidal mutant as quickly as possible? Try Toxic Waste. It works every time.
And also brought to you by the Keanu Reeves School of Acting. Come see some of their graduates' work. All right. This one's almost straightforward, except they had some pretty weird subplots that you just wouldn't be expecting here.
And some odd characters who I'm still trying to figure out exactly. Well, one odd character, I don't know where he came from and why he was there.
Well, good point. All right, so we have a photojournalist. Well, actually, he's not really a photojournalist. He's just a photographer. Decides to do a human interest piece on some homeless people. He goes down to the underground dwellers and you know, just takes some pictures of them, hangs out with them. There's a journalist who's trying to write the story to accompany the piece that is, of course, having a heart attack because the main theme of this film is this photographer's lack of interest in pretty much anything outside of his own personal life.
Right.
Which is a really interesting twist on any film like this. And he spends more than half of the film just completely uninterested in anything that's going on, which is fascinating, actually.
See, that irritated me, but continue.
And his girlfriend gets pregnant, which I was like,
his wife, actually.
Was that his wife? Yeah. Okay.
It's mentioned about halfway through. I was thinking girlfriend until she said wife.
And of course, I was just, what the fuck? Oh, okay. All right. They're going this route. Okay. So he's completely uninterested. Meanwhile, there is another journalist who's just kind of sitting back and trying to figure out what the fuck is going on, because there is some strange shit going on. People have been disappearing throughout this one neighborhood in the city, and no one seems to know why. The cops aren't saying anything.
Except for one cop.
Oh, yeah, we get to that where one cop finally breaks it and just can't. He's trying to figure out what the hell is going on himself because his wife disappears. And so he's really trying to figure out what this is all about. It leads him to this homeless shelter because the reverend who runs this homeless shelter reported at least 12 of his regulars missing over about a 2 week period of time. And they go beneath his shelter to find strange radioactive material. Well, not radioactive materials, but just.
Something radioactive moving through the sewers.
Well, he finds a Geiger counter and all sorts of weird equipment just lying around in the sewer beneath. And they turn it on to find that there's a shit ton of radiation beneath the city. So, I know I said straightforward, didn't I? I'm trying to see where a good bailing point is. I'm really close though, aren't I? So he finally figures this out that it's time to lay it all on the table and get this story out and crack down on where the fuck is beneath the city, because he still quite hasn't figured it out yet. There's a little girl who has her grandfather eaten by a monster in front of her, that and he just that's it. He can't. The police captain
And
just
that really
cannot.
was the point where he decided to get serious.
Yeah, he cannot lose any more people. He cannot play any more games. Following orders. Fuck the orders. It's time to end this. So he steals the photographer's pictures, though he never tried talking with them, which is kind of a weird thing.
Yeah, they never met till the end, right?
Right, they never meet till the very end. Actually, they never meet, honestly.
Oh, I thought they did at the end. Okay.
But anyway, that'd be a spoiler. So they lay it all out. There's this head of the EPA that they bring in, or it is some sort of environmental agency, and he does not still does not want any of this out. Tries to put the reverend away, I'm guessing. There's some scene missing, I'm thinking, from the exchange between the government agent and the reverend.
There was some strange. There was one particularly odd scene after that meeting.
Well, yeah, there was several after that year. They're just odd where they started on something, and then I think there was a scene missing somewhere because he came back. Yeah. So, long story short, too late. They are running around beneath the sewers because the answer to getting rid of them, they decide, well, this environmental guy decides, is to flood the sewers with gas to asphyxiate all of the creatures. But of course, there are several of our heroes trapped underneath, and we could say, hilarious. Well, do we want to give away the, well, we'll give away what caused the creatures, at least, the origins of the creatures. It turns out that they have been dumping toxic waste beneath the city, and this toxic waste has turned some of our homeless into zombies,
Mutants.
zombie-like mutants, and
No, they're full-on mutants. They don't even look human anymore, aside from being humanoid.
true. True, they kind of look a little lizard-like
I was thinking rat.
rat. And yeah, they're all down in the sewer together with the gas on. Hilarity definitely ensues.
Now, the first thing that struck me about this, and this was, you were going to reference this in one of your sponsors.
Yes.
The opening theme is very, very dated and very 80s.
Yeah.
And that is never a good idea in a movie. I've realized this over time, over reviewing various movies that do this. You don't want to go too contemporary with your score. It just doesn't feel right 20, 30 years later.
I don't know. I think it depends on the talent of the musician.
The composer, yeah,
Yeah.
true.
You know, like I heard some of Tony Banks from Genesis's some of his soundtrack work, and most of it was pretty damn good. But I
Banks is
mean,
on another level, and I'm sure that wasn't necessarily contemporary. It wasn't of its time. He just happened to use synthesizers.
it kind of was,
Okay.
sure. But they're movies nobody ever saw.
Ah.
Lorca and the Outlaws and Quicksilver.
Wow, and not the Kevin Bacon Quicksilver, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I think it was the Kevin Bacon
Oh,
Quicksilver, actually, yeah.
okay. I've seen that, but many, many years ago. Don't really remember it. Anyway, back to the movie.
Yes.
It showed a lot of promise at the very beginning because it opens straight away with an attack and then a very quick credit sequence and then cuts to the next day and you see the shoe of the woman who was attacked in the very beginning sitting on the street as a street cleaner comes by, which I thought was a great touch. It was just a
Yeah.
nice little callback to what you just saw. And then we meet the photographer and his wife, and it kind of starts going downhill.
It's very weird. I was not expecting it to go in the direction that they went in.
See, initially I thought it was just this annoying romantic subplot that was unnecessarily tacked on.
Yeah.
And then she said she was pregnant, and then I realized, no, it's tacked on to artificially raise the stakes, which they didn't really do. I was impressed with that. I thought they were going to put her in more danger than she was,
Right.
and really
I thought
reference
so
the fact that
too.
she's pregnant.
Right. I was completely expecting that. I don't know, this film had me guessing throughout most of it. Like what?
And also, the photographer himself was a nice head fake because he's really creepy. And I thought he was going to be a villain at first.
Well, right. You think he's kind of a jerk. So you're expecting him to be the villain a little bit. But instead, it's all about him just not wanting to connect the dots.
Yeah. He had a good life, a good career. He didn't want to get messed up with anything else.
Right.
Kind of just keeping his head in the sand.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the Keanu Reeves School of Acting in your sponsor. I think the acting was very much a mixed bag.
Oh, very much so.
Most of it was, I would say, slightly better than your average B movie. Still not good, but better than average.
There were some very awkward moments. There were some very good moments, too. It was even from the same performer.
I will say Stern overall impressed me.
Really, because I thought he was very Keanu in the
Really?
beginning, especially in the beginning. When he was establishing his character, he was very, whoa.
Well, there was a lot of that, but it was the early 80s. I just took that as, you know, period language.
I mean, when the movie progressed, I think he got better, or he got more relaxed into it and less over the top.
He did choose some scenery. I will give you
Yes.
that.
When he was establishing his character at the beginning, though, that was pretty painful.
I enjoyed the scenery showing.
Well, then there's Bosch, who I felt did the opposite. I liked him until he lost it, and then he kind of went over the top, and then he came back down again.
See, his performance didn't really strike me. I think the movie got a lot more interesting when he lost it. That's kind of when the pacing picked up, and it kind of got interesting for me when he got serious after the grandfather was attacked.
I think he did some hamming when he was really, I'm talking about when he, after he saw his wife and stuff, he milked that.
And did they really need to explicitly say that the woman attacked at the beginning was his wife? I had kind of figured it out by that point. I think it was pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Because they mentioned his wife has been missing, and it's the obvious assumption that that was the random woman we saw attacked at the beginning.
But I guess it gave his character an end, you know?
Yeah.
That he does find his wife.
Sam McMurray was a nice surprise.
What are the odds of us doing Raising Arizona the week before
With the random Sam McMurray appearance and now
and
this.
John Goodman?
And John Goodman, yeah.
And boy, if only they had given John Goodman some more to do than what he had,
He was random cop in a diner. I think it was one of his first film roles, if not his first.
Yeah, that's crazy. Cop in diner. But yeah, McMurray, it was been around since 76 and just a long ass IMDb. Whereas John Goodman mostly really started in 83, just doing whatever he could.
Right. Now, as you mentioned, there were a lot of scenes that just kind of didn't make sense, a lot of dots that weren't connected.
Yeah.
Why was George, the photographer, bailing out the homeless woman?
He'd done the story with them.
Okay, so he knew her from there. Okay. I didn't quite get that connection.
He had done the story with their family on, living underground, and I think he had given her his number in case she ever got in trouble. And of course,
I see.
she got in trouble. I missed this in the plot summary because, well, it's kind of a minor plot point. She was trying to steal a cop's gun.
Because another underground dweller had seen a Chud, I'm guessing, and well, yeah, he was attacked by a Chud. What am I saying?
Right,
And he wanted a gun.
he was the plot point really, where they had the picture of his leg and the bite wound
Right.
from his leg.
Now, one of the many, I don't want to say many, one of the several issues I have with the movie. Way too much exposition at the beginning. I mean, you want to know the background on your character, you got to care about him, but there was over 30 minutes between that initial Chud attack and the next time you see a Chud. The
Well,
grandfather in the phone booth.
yeah, they kind of tease you a little here with some, basement doors and stuff. You know it's coming from underground and manholes.
And all you saw at the beginning was just an arm coming out from a sewer, from a manhole.
And you see the second Chud attack is very brief shot on the Chud, of course.
And I will say I like that about the movie. They never showed you the Chud for more than maybe 2 seconds.
Right. That's always smart.
And because the one wide shot you get of like three or four of them standing there, costumes are kind of cheesy. When you get the close-ups on the face, they look great. I think they really put the money into the close-up masks and didn't really spend much time on the wide shot ones. Because they look great in close, but when you see the three, you understand why they did never really showed you the monster that much. Which is why we were debating reptile or rat. Now, on to the oddness after the meeting. Bosch, the cop, and Shepard, the guy who runs the homeless shelter, the Reverend, have a meeting with the head of the EPA and Nuclear Regulatory Commission, wasn't EPA. Just remembered. And I think there was one of the other cops was there. And they try to reveal this conspiracy that's going on. And then Shepard is on his way from the meeting, and someone is following him. He stops at a payphone, puts a dime in, or whatever it was at the time, guessing a dime. Guy who was following him walks up, takes the coin out, and eats it. And that's the scene.
Right, and he just kind of stares at him,
Yeah, they stare
and
each other
he's
down for a few seconds, cut.
cut.
And then later, they're trying to get out of the sewer, and he covered it wasn't a manhole, it was one of the openings on the sidewalk. He had one of those barred, so they couldn't get out of the sewer. This is the only time you see this character.
Right, there must have been another scene shot between the two of them, I'm thinking.
Or at least one before establishing who this guy is. Presumably he works for the Regulatory Commission. He's a goon, but they never established that.
Well, yeah, 'cause he's on the phone, he's leaving, he's got, long hair, a beard, he's carrying the package. So, he's putting a tail on him.
Okay.
And you see the tail, which, I'm fine with that. But then there's obviously something missing because he was talking about, he said his name, somebody's name, who we never, of course,
Right.
get that person's name. I'm assuming it's the dude that was following him and they actually have an exchange, but obviously I think something was cut. Or it wasn't filmed, or it didn't make the final cut.
Yeah.
It was just very obvious that there was something missing.
Speaking of the script, according to the commentary on the Anchor Bay DVD, stars Daniel Stern and Christopher Curry, who played Bosch, were displeased with Parnell Hall's original rewritten script and rewrote it extensively, adding the character of the Reverend and the alternate Chud acronym, because Chud stands for two different things in the movie.
Yeah, which was a really cool touch.
Yeah. They claim that about 50% of the finished film is their rewrite, but chose to remain uncredited. Claims of authorship of the alternate Chud acronym have been disputed by the producer, and he who credits Parnell Hall with the with that one. Now, I don't know if I buy this because they say they created the character of the Reverend.
Right, that doesn't make any
The guy
sense.
playing the role created the character, or wrote it in. And Stern is not credited with anything else on the movie, just acting and an uncredited writer. I think it was probably just a gag during the DVD commentary. They were just joking around and it maybe got taken a bit too seriously.
Like, he's only credited with writing one other thing his entire career, like
Oh, wow.
a TV show pilot. So I really don't buy him being a writer.
No. Particularly on what sounds like probably the good part of the movie. You know, him and Curry.
Yeah.
I have a feeling they wrote the interesting stuff, the Bosch and Shepard stuff.
Yeah, they probably put a few scenes in there that weren't in there before.
But they, you know, they probably had some ideas on set that they talked to the director or Hall about and ended up in the movie, but I don't think they wrote 50% of it.
No.
Now, the second acronym was a great touch because, you know, the full title is Chud, Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dweller, and you know, so you know it's a mutant movie.
Right.
Then they reveal the conspiracy, and it stands for contaminated.
I always get the C and H.
Contaminated hazard urban
Ah.
disposal.
I had the urban disposal part right, but not the contaminated hazard.
So it's basically this conspiracy where they are deliberately leaving toxic waste in the sewers under New York, and thus creating the Chud, which I thought was a nice touch. It wasn't just an accident, which is what it always is in these movies.
Right.
You know, that goes back to Toxie. Incidentally, Toxie was released 4 months before this.
Wow.
I would claim that they ripped it off, but you can't do that in 4 months.
Well, honestly, it isn't this kind of like I don't know, reverse or an inverse Godzilla.
Okay.
You
Yeah.
know, where the monster there it's not one big monster, it's
It's multiple monsters, yeah.
bunch of little monsters created by the evil of nuclear power.
Yeah. And this theme was used a lot
Yeah.
at this time period. There was a lot of fear about toxic waste. You know, Toxie wasn't exactly an original thought. A lot of people had similar ideas around this time.
Only none of these guys were wearing tutus, which,
Well, yeah, of course. Troma added their own
yeah.
spin and made it a classic. Can't say the same for this one.
I think, though, the story really does come together neatly, though, if
It
you look at
does.
it overall.
It does get better at that midpoint where Bosch decides to start kicking ass. It gets a
Well,
lot better.
even the whole nonsense with the photographer not getting involved fits in with the overall story about the average person not wanting to get involved
True, true.
with cleaning the shit up or what's going on around them in general. I mean, I thought it was very interesting the story of the journalist who's just sitting back trying to figure it all out. And then he
Yeah.
has a really, kind of an abrupt and surprising ending, I thought. You know, you weren't quite expecting what happened to him happening to him at that point.
You mean the cop, Bosch?
No, the journalist.
Journalist. Oh, the long-haired journalist.
Right. He
Oh,
kind of.
yeah. I kind of was barely aware of him. I had a hard time tracking his character.
Well, right. That was the crazy thing about him. He like appears and then disappears and then
He's kind
his.
of like the thug who was following Stern's character around. He kind of came up out of nowhere and then randomly disappeared.
Well, it wasn't so random.
Well, no, it wasn't. I know. Right, I forgot where his last act in the movie, right? But the journalist was another one who just kind of showed up without any backstory, which I think is what made it odd, is because they gave so much backstory to everybody else.
And then there's just people who are kind of,
Just kind of showed up.
I mean, he busts the photographer's balls. He's kind of, the consciousness of the photographer.
Yeah. He's the one who really gets him involved.
Yeah.
Now, I have to nitpick one particular thing. And you don't actually see them being used. But at one point, they send, I think this is Bosch's mistake, or potential mistake, he sends flamethrowers down into the sewers to take out the Chud. Fire in a by and large enclosed area with a lot of gas.
Yeah.
Not a good idea. I'm glad that you never actually saw any of them fired. So you can just say it was a bad idea that thankfully never turned into a tragedy.
I'm not even sure why it didn't work for what they were trying to do.
Bosch had sent the flamethrowers down, and somebody else sent a camera crew down. I think it was the nuclear regulatory
Right.
guy.
Right, that was one of my other intros. You have camera, your guys have cameras, might have flamethrowers.
Yeah. So, and they're arguing over jurisdiction effectively, and
Probably Bosch's best line in the whole movie, because like I'm gonna order my guys out. Like, really?
your
You're gonna
guys
tell
have
the
cameras, mine have flamethrowers.
who's gonna win
Yeah.
that? And of course, if I were the guys that were, down there, I'd be like, nah, the guys with the weapons can stay.
Yeah. I don't think they would have argued.
Right. Maybe not flamethrowers,
Well,
because really, that's the problem with the weapon. When you're using flamethrowers, others, it would have killed every last motherfucker in the
the fire would have consumed the entire sewer system,
Exactly.
blown off every manhole cover, probably blown up a couple of streets.
Right.
There would have been this massive sea of fire under New York City, and I think there were two lead characters under there at the time.
I think this would have been an
They would have
awesome.
died.
I think this would have been a five if that
Oh,
happened.
yeah.
If he sets dudes with flamethrowers down and it just lights the whole city up. That would have been priceless. Instead, though, what happens? There's a lot of flames, and for some reason, the mutants don't die.
No, they're the one thing that is immune to fire.
Makes no sense.
Fire kills everything. That's kind of one of the nice things about it.
Right.
So when you have something that isn't alien, that isn't made from something not of this earth, that can't be killed by fire, it kind of points to lazy writing. They want to amp up the danger, and they're kind of taking an easy way out by saying this thing can't be killed, by really conventional means. There were a couple other odd things, though. At one point, the Chud are coming up to after the wife, the pregnant wife, because they have to put her in danger.
Yeah, it was probably the worst scene in the whole movie, I think.
Well, yeah, particularly because okay, they're in the sewer. She goes down into her basement, and somehow there's a connection between the basement and the sewer.
I'm thinking of the psycho scene.
Yeah, I'm getting to that, but
Okay.
the basement sewer connection just seemed odd and as something they probably should have established somehow. But then she gets into the shower, and did she turn up the water? Was that it?
She had the water going, she had the shower going, and for some reason her tub drain just isn't
That's what it
working.
was, yes.
So,
Big spurt of blood coming out of the drain.
right, when she tries to like jimmy the drain with a hanger,
It's apparently because of a clog.
this thing of blood squirts out of the drain. And you have music very similar
Very psycho, yeah.
to the psycho music. And it's just, did we need this, dude?
Was excessive and unnecessary, and it really didn't fit the tone of the rest of the movie. I think
No.
they realized they were trying to make a horror film and made what is kind of an interesting sci-fi thriller, and they just wanted to amp up the horror for a moment.
Yeah. And it didn't even make any sense. Why would something squish out of the drain like that? Like, how much force was she putting on this wire hanger? Was she like, rah! Was she coked up or something with it? And what was there a ball of flesh that was at the other end, not just like a blood in a water balloon?
Yeah.
Unless she whipped out a gun and shot the drain,
Right.
there should be no reason for blood, and especially the amount of blood that spurted out of there.
Yeah, I mean, what was that? Did she hit a Chud?
Who knows?
With a curved part of a hanger? She pierced the Chud?
Exactly. I mean, and the amount of blood they had spread out was, it was bull,
Yeah,
it was
exactly.
a bull scene. It just made no sense. It had to. That was hands down
That
the
oh yeah.
worst scene in the whole film. That was just embarrassing.
Another nowhere near as bad, but just kind of obviously cheesy. At the very end, Shepard, Stern's character, fires a gun. Now, he shoots three bullets. First two running away very sort of haphazard, like someone who's never shot a gun before. They hadn't established that he had any gun training at this point. So, okay, that's fine. Third shot, crouches down into this perfect form, shoots through a windshield, and hits someone dead in the chest.
And then you hear them singing with little help from my friends, and he starts narrating. Oh.
But, okay, so why these two kind of flailing shots when he can do that, first off? And second of all, that shot would never happen because windshield.
Oh, he was on the run for the first two, so you could see him doing that.
And suddenly
But
he gains his composure and has this perfect form and
yeah,
shoots off an impossible shot.
it kind of went from one extreme to the other.
Yeah. Well, look, because if the flailing, running away shots continued, I would have had no problem with that. It was this sudden marksmanship that just didn't wash for me.
Or how about the fact that there's plenty of room for a sequel?
Oh, of course. We'll get to that. Speaking of Stern, the film features, including Stern, three actors who would later go on to play roles in the Home Alone series.
Oh, that's right. I
Now, I
forget.
know McMurray was one of them.
Yeah.
Who was the third?
Oh, I think it was it was Cooper.
Okay.
Like one of the police guy, or no, the photographer.
Oh, okay. I've seen the first Home Alone many, many, many years ago. I haven't seen it since. I haven't seen any of the others.
I
So,
think he may have been the father.
okay, I thought that was McMurray. It was an interesting connection from Chud to Home Alone.
Yeah, I haven't seen those movies in a long time.
Oh, and also one more last bit of trivia. On April 1st, 2011, the Criterion Collection announced plans to release special edition Blu-ray and DVD versions of the film in July 2011 with all new special features, but it was actually an April Fool's Day prank.
Oh.
Who would have thought that the Criterion Collection had that kind of sense of humor? Especially a movie that's kind of well known among B movies. This is kind of a classic. Incidentally, a classic that I haven't seen before this.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, this was, I think there are a few sequels to this, aren't there?
There's one sequel, moving on to sequels and remakes, if you're done with your notes. One sequel, Chud 2, Bud the Chud, about the US military using enzymes from the sewer Chud in the first movie to create super soldiers. One of the Chud specimens is accidentally stolen and awoken by a group of teenagers, and hilarity ensues.
But there's a much more obvious sequel. I mean, room for an obvious sequel than that. I mean, they don't really take care of the
No,
Chuds at
they don't
the end of
end the
this
Chud
film.
menace at all.
No.
Well, they kind of did a Night of the Living Dead. The third Night of the Living Dead movie, Day of the Dead or Dawn of the Dead, I always get them confused.
Ah, me too.
Where they have the zombies locked up and being experimented on. They kind of went that direction. And I should say that Chud 2, Bud the Chud, is a comedy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they went from dead serious sci-fi horror to a comedy movie. Horror comedy, obviously. And in 2007, Dread Central reported that Rob Zombie would be directing a remake, but that turned out to be a rumor. That's practically the next day it was revealed to be a rumor, and Zombie denied it. And
Yeah, I can't see Zombie doing this.
not Zombie, it would go too far in the horror direction,
Yeah.
but I would love to see a remake because the
I would
story has a
too.
tremendous amount of potential.
I agree. I think this would make a fantastic remake, actually.
Only casting I have in mind offhand is you gotta put Stern back in there, make him Bosch, make him the cop.
I think he's learned a lot more about acting since this. I mean, a lot of these guys were really soap opera actors from what I see with their IMDbs. Even McMurray was a soap opera actor.
Oh wow.
I didn't even realize that.
Actually, no, don't make him one of the nuclear regulatory guys. Cast Stern in one of those roles.
I think you should put Joe Pesci in there as the other wet bandit, and
Ba-dum-bum. For the cop for Bosch, Macy.
oh
Nathan
yeah,
Macy.
that is an excellent choice.
I'm not sure about Shepard, the Stern's original role.
Yeah, that's a pretty
You need a guy
solid
in his
guess.
late 20s, and we're never good at coming up with that.
I mean, that's
And who can kind of be a street urchin, effectively.
well, he has to be more of a hippie, and Daniel Stern is just not believable as an ex-hippie at all.
Yeah. I enjoyed the scenery showing. Anyway, can't think of anybody any casting wise for the remake. Ooh, but directors.
I
Just
know who
thought of
you'd
it.
get
Okay.
to play Shepard.
All right.
You get Ed Furlong.
Is he still around?
I don't know.
I mean, I can see it if he's still acting. I don't know that he's done much after Terminator.
Right. But you'd certainly believe him as like an ex-junkie.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Directing, though, Del Toro.
Really?
You'd have great monster effects. It would be legitimately creepy, like it should be.
Yeah, I could see that. I could really, yeah, that he is probably the best one. And there's just something about the whole, I mean, you were probably bored because there wasn't a creature attack, but really the focus was on the underground in that first half, and just how absurd it is that beneath the city like New York, that there really is this whole underground world.
Good point.
Even besides the subway system. I happen to be reading right now the sequel to Catch 22 called Closing Time, and it goes into a very similar world actually, because it's like the early 1990s, and the first one was like a World War II thing.
Okay.
But yeah, he goes into this weird underground world for some of the book, and so to see that in the movie too is kind of like, wow, yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised at how elaborate the underground sets were.
Yeah, the set was very good for that. I mean, there were a couple things where they used the same hallway
Yeah, of
several
course.
times to chase. And that was kind of like, come on, guys. That's a pretty, distinctive, gray brick wall.
Yeah.
At least use it from a different angle.
I think for me it was an issue of expectation management. I signed on for a B-horror movie about mutants in the sewers. I wanted to see mutants in the sewers. I wasn't expecting any kind of commentary. I just was expecting gore and bad
Yeah.
effects.
And really they should have spent more time in the sewers, fighting them off in the sewers, rather than fighting them from outside the sewers. It would have fit more in with the whole cover up. If
Right.
you want to attempt a cover up, you don't lock down the manholes and flood the city with gas. Unless, of course, your name is Wile E. Coyote or Yosemite
Yeah.
Sam. What kind of retarded
Again, a
swoosh was that?
similar problem to the flamethrowers in the sewer, because I don't care how, if you lock down the manhole covers, it's gonna come up somewhere.
Right. Oh, definitely. Well, that was the other thing, was that they're gonna come up if you just flood the thing with
Well,
gas.
no, I mean the gas itself is gonna come up. You're gonna gas half the
That's
residents of
true.
New York.
There's no way to airtight the New York sewer system.
No.
It can't happen because, well, first of all, it would explode if it did.
Exactly.
The whole fucking island would
There
go
is
up.
no mechanism in place to do that because it would be a very, very bad idea.
Yes.
All right, on to brains.
Expecting to take like a slingshot with dynamite.
All
Yes, on to brains.
right, so overall, I liked it. It didn't quite live up to my expectations, but it was better than and certainly most of the B movies we've seen. So I'm going to go 3.5. I'm going to round up.
Yeah, I am I'm pretty much close to where you are. I enjoyed this through most part. I think it has a whole shit ton of awkwardness, and the performances are just all over the place, from people you'd expect to do better performances to people you didn't expect to do as good, because I mean, I really didn't expect much for the guy playing Bosch. And then he was like, wow, he's pretty solid until he tried to overdo it.
I've never heard of the guy before, so I had no
Yeah,
expectation.
me neither, but he just didn't seem like a guy. But I mean, he him and his early 80s mustache and hair.
Well, it was 84.
Yeah. So I'm going with a four because it was just it had more to it, at least. The script was I think it keeps your attention, and yeah, it's there are some warts and some ugliness to it, but it's overall enjoyable.
All right, so what have we learned?
That only a blonde would turn the lights off when expecting an underground creature.
And I learned that relevant one off the OK word list years ago. I love that one, especially in this movie. All right, so until next week when we'll be reviewing Old Boy. I've been waiting for this one. You've never seen it, right?
Nah.
Can't wait to talk about this one. Go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course the episode itself, links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus, links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. You'll also find the movie list, every movie we've reviewed so far, and every movie we're going to review, for at least the next few in order, up through Wrong, which I think is like two after Old Boy. You'll also find the request form. If you've got a movie you'd like to hear us review, leave it on the request form, and the recommendations list. Every movie we've given four brains or better to. This
Came
actually
close.
came close, yeah, surprisingly close.
Yeah, I was surprised too, believe me.
You can email us, zombietakeout@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZTO1, or for the alphanumerically challenged, 414-368-9861. Of course, always remember that you'll be calling from the middle of Milwaukee. And of course, until next week, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
There
are.
you are.
That's funny. Did you make that up?
Always remember that you'll be. Oh, of course, remember that you'll always be calling from the middle. What's the fucking line now? Of course, always remember that you'll be calling from the middle of Milwaukee.